So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to Love After Lockup. Haha, okay. I'm Miss H, and today Mr. O and I will be talking about Season 3, Episode 7 of Love After Lockup. This week, Destiny learns Vegas bars are open 24 hours. Quaylen smells and Myela wants to know why. Jessica wants to talk to your supervisor. John keeps dropping bombs on Christiana's poor mother. And we finally meet Shonda while Tyrese objectifies her. If you like what you hear, please support us by subscribing and leaving a 5-star rating or any other constructive comments are welcome. And if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast channel, 90 Day NK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. Thanks, stay safe, and enjoy.
Hello, Miss H.
Hello, Mr. O.
How are you doing?
I am doing okay. Yeah, we're getting prepped to be in person soon. Which is a little scary.
Yeah, we will see how long that lasts. We were talking about it earlier. I just don't get it. I don't get everybody's, not everybody's, because my district is not going to be in person until at least February at the earliest. Mm-hmm. But a lot of places just their gung ho-ness to be. We got to be back so these kids can not get near each other and still do the same thing they were doing at home.
Right. Well, speaking of kids, let's start off with Chevelle and Quaylen. So, during our commercial break, Chevelle claims that Quaylen fucked the life out of her. So, after that TMI, they head over to meet Myela, Chevelle's daughter. Quaylen gives Myela a stuffed animal and a live fish and gives her a hug, and she immediately asks him why he smells like that. As everyone ignores her questions, she asks like 5 more times. Quaylen meets Chevelle's mom, who asks him what his intentions are and if it will lead to marriage. Quaylen says that he's still putting the pieces together, but he doesn't know if they will get married quite yet. He's still feeling it out. Chevelle's mom is willing to give him a chance, but she also wants to be watchful. Chevelle is surprised that Quaylen isn't ready to get married right now because they had talked about it pretty openly while Quaylen was still in prison. Chevelle is worried that her daughter is learning to love Quaylen and he might not always be around. She gives him 6 months to propose. All right. So Chevelle says she's going to give him 6 months to propose. But do you think Chevelle would really walk away if he doesn't propose in 6 months?
No, probably not. I mean, I don't see her. Yeah, I don't see her holding to that. Like, I see her forgiving a lot of stuff. I don't know. It's just because it's a weird situation because we don't know what her history is, right?
Yeah.
In terms of guys. And she's already been waiting on him for a long time.
Was it like 3 years, I want to say?
Yeah, like something like that.
2.5, 3 years.
Uh-huh.
So that's why she seems to think that they're on the fast track to marriage. And he's definitely one of those people who says things to kind of get what he wants or just because, and maybe not even so much get what he wants, but because he knows it's what she wants to hear.
Oh, yeah. He'll definitely, we've seen it with telling his mommy moved to Houston. He's going to say things just to keep people off his back.
Right. So I also see her as someone who isn't really good at follow through. Like, mm-hmm. It's not that she doesn't want to follow through. It's like all these people that kind of put ultimatums on things. And I've had friends that have done this too, where they're just like, I'm tired of waiting around for this guy to propose. And so it's, and I know some of my friends have given their partners like ultimatums, but it's absolutely empty if you're not willing to follow through with it. So whenever I kind of like give advice to my friends who are like at that point where they're like, they just need either shit or get off the pot. I tell them, you know, if you give them an ultimatum, you have to also be prepared to walk away. You mm-hmm. can't just have it be this empty thing because I think it sets a bad precedence
sure.
for like everything in their relationship.
Yeah. And also like, and I don't know if she told her, but also like the daughter.
Yeah.
But empty threats is not really a way to get like much done. And we see it
right.
a lot. We see it a lot. The, you know, it's super common people who are addicts and stuff like that. But the idea, I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to cut you off this time. I'm going to cut you. You won't be able to borrow money this time. And then they kind of relent and do. Like,
right. And so I just think that everyone just needs to be better about following through. So Myela.
Mm-hmm.
What does Quaylen smell like? And she didn't really specify it was good or bad. She just like, why do you smell like that?
Okay. Well, then no, then she said you need to take a shower.
Yes.
My guess, this is my guess, completely unfounded, making stuff up, cigarettes.
That was my first thought. Because mm-hmm. it's kind of like, well, why is Chevelle all like loving on him
right.
if he smells bad?
Right. And by the time they had their whole, you know, hotel room night where, you know, they had sex hella times, like I imagine he took a shower at some point then.
I would like, hope so. That's
at night
gross.
In the morning, like after he got out of jail. Like that just seems like we've said it before. That would be like number 1 or 1A on my list after I got out of jail yeah. would be, I want a good hot shower. Let's
right,
go.
Right. I think it's also funny that they all just kind of ignored her. You're like, yeah, whatever. Like, we're just not going to answer your question.
Definitely a kid who just says whatever she thinks and they're just like, whatever.
Yep. And they're like, okay. And then she's just like, no, seriously, why do you smell like that? Why do you smell like that? She just keeps on asking.
Right.
I was like, I want to know, what does it smell like?
Yes. So I was like, man, does he smell like beer? And then I thought about it more and I was like, well, wait, what's something that a child her age might not have smelled that a person would just smell like? And that's what came up as cigarettes to me.
I don't know. I kind of feel like, yeah, maybe her family doesn't smoke, but mm-hmm. they're like kind of in the Midwest. Like it always kind of amazes me, you know, just how general populations, like especially if they don't have like very strict like public smoking laws or rules,
uh-huh.
how many people actually smoke. And so I feel like she must have come across something.
Yeah, I guess. They're in Missouri? They're in Kansas City. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what their rules are. But, like, yeah, because I'm just used to over here. But yeah, nobody smokes here, man. Like,
oh, same here. Unless you're, like, at a bar or something like that.
Even that way, you can't smoke in our bars, right? So – mm-hmm. like even that there's like you'll catch like one or two people smoking outside of a bar, like looking all cold and sad. not even like you know, the thing where everybody goes outside to have a cigarette, you talk to the other people. It's just like, no, one person yeah. out there sucking it down as quick as they can to get back in where their friends are.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's interesting. Smoking is definitely more of a social thing here. Like people don't smoke as much just to smoke, and I'm not saying people don't. I think almost people are more likely to nowadays just because of vaping.
Oh, well, yeah. The vaping is a different animal. But that one wouldn't – the smell wouldn't stick as much with him if he was vaping.
Oh, I think so. But it's like a lot more subtle. There was this guy that I had gone out on a date with and I kept on getting these weird whiffs of something. And to me, it smelled like stale pancakes. Like there was this weird like maple syrup. But it was off, right? So it didn't smell completely pleasant, but it wasn't completely mm-hmm. terrible. It was just weird. And I remember like getting these whiffs and like, what is that smell? And I couldn't figure it out. Then I went out with him again a little bit later. And then he's like, oh, do you mind if I like vape? And I'm like, that's it. That must be it. And it made so much more sense.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things that since I don't do it, I don't like take notice when other people do or when they disappear from the bar for a while. I'm not like, oh, they mm-hmm. must be out having a vape or whatever. They're just like, oh, okay. You're back now. Great.
Yeah, but it was like weird. It was like must have been on his clothes or something because it was like when he turned a certain way, because obviously he wasn't smoking in front of me.
Right.
So I feel like, yeah, it's not as offensive as a smell as actual cigarette smoke, but I wouldn't say it's completely odorless either.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. So yeah, there wasn't much with them, just those two things. So let's move on to, I'll go to John and Christiana.
Okay.
So right after dropping off Christiana, John calls Tammy, who is Christiana's mom. So the plan originally was to go see her before the halfway house, but instead of taking his, fiance slash wife to see his mom, he decided to trap her into a wedding instead.
God.
But now since she's officially his mother-in-law, he's going to take her out to lunch. It looks like when he picks her up to go to lunch that this is the first time they've met. So he gets her and he gets her oxygen tank and puts them in the truck and they go. Then they get to lunch and they start – she wants to know a little bit about his background. And things don't start off great because Tammy wished they had a church wedding since she's not even sure that Native American weddings count as real.
Right.
And then it gets worse when he says they've only known each other for 3 months, and Tammy had assumed they'd known each other for much longer than that. Then they get worse still when he mentions that when he goes into his marriage history, which again, four weddings, and we learn something even worse.
Yes.
That he, well, let's back up. He got married to his first wife's cousin while he was still married to his first wife.
God, what an idiot.
Oh, then he tells her about the criminal past, so even worse. But he says that all ended in 2008. So Tammy tells us in an interview that she's not sure he's good for Christiana.
You think?
Which is a little bit, yeah. And then Tammy tells us about her Christiana's struggles with drugs, and about she's specifically concerned about the halfway house because every time she goes to the halfway house, she has a relapse. And she would feel better if she could see Tammy and John together, so that she could tell how real it is. All right, so something else John said that I didn't go into is he feels like he's a uniquely helpful person for Christiana because he, I think it was something like a quote, they both know what the sound of the keys is like, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It seemed like a bank shot to me. What did you think about that? Do you think any credence to he's better because he knows what it's like to be in jail?
I do think it helps them feel more connected. I wouldn't really necessarily say that means he is somehow better for her, because wouldn't the goal be to not go back to prison, I guess? And if you're kind of hanging out with other ex-cons, like, I don't know, it just seems like the likelihood of you going back to prison is a little bit higher. But at the same time, to John's credit, he hasn't had any problems with the law since he's been out.
Mm-hmm.
So at least there's that.
That's true.
I mean, that is literally his only saving grace.
Right.
It was like bombs just kept going off the more he talked to Tammy. And I'm like, poor Tammy. She looks like she's an inch away from death as it is. And he keeps on like throwing these bombs that are just like, we just got married without you.
Boom.
I was married to cousins. It's like, oh my gosh, I've been to jail.
It wasn't his cousin. It was his wife's cousin.
No. It wasn't his cousin. But still, you should not be dating anyone in your partner's family. That's odd.
Just so... The way he says everything like it's normal and like, oh, well, actually, like, I've been married four times. And actually, funny story, I was banging my wife's cousin. Yeah.
Yeah. Two of them were cousins.
Yeah.
It's like, that doesn't make it better. Like, I feel like he could have left that out and Tammy would not have been any the wiser.
So it's just
like, why would you tell her that willingly?
Just like I'm saying, like, he has... The remarkable thing about John to me, and remarkable is a good word because I don't want it to sound positive. I kind of do want it to sound negative. He has no shame at all.
Oh, yeah. That's true. He doesn't. He doesn't care.
Like everything. Yes, that is the thing that happened. Of course. It's easy to fraud checks. So all you got to do is change a couple numbers on the routing number. Boom. There you go. I got it.
Oh,
it's a rush.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. But... I did have a question that came up. So is a Native American wedding real? Or does it need to be in combination with like an actual marriage certificate? I think we had this question before and I don't know if
I don't know the rules of different states. But yes, you're totally allowed to have a Native American officiant do a Native American wedding. Like,
sure.
That's fine. But they still have to have some sort of notary or certification from the state that says they're allowed to like be the witness or executor, I don't know that word, of officiant of a wedding, right?
Yeah.
So we don't know what he did. We didn't see any legal paperwork. We didn't see if there was a lawyer or someone present. It was just like, yeah, here's a thing and let's go. So it's really up in the air whether or not they're legally married or just spiritually married. But that has nothing to do with whether or not it was a Native ceremony or a Christian ceremony.
Right. I think like maybe it's just, representation only. What am I thinking of? Symbolic only.
Right.
Right. And I think, like, if he really cares about Christiana, like, he will actually give her another wedding. Maybe a more official wedding that requires a marriage certificate. Because, you know, especially for Tammy, like, she wasn't able to go. And I know that she seemed really upset about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's so crazy to me is that he didn't even think about that. Like, he thought about Tammy after, like, he knew they were gonna go see Tammy. Like, so it's like, why not have her come up? Why not talk to, why not, you were both out, why not meet her before? Like, she was supposed to be in the halfway house. Like, I don't get it, you know?
Yeah.
And because we've seen a few other people do that, you know, they've gone, well, specifically, you know, what's his face? Scott and Lindsay, right? He's met the mom, he's met the daughter. Like, if you're planning on marrying this person, then it seems like you would have at least given her a phone call before, like, yeah, I just dropped her off at the halfway house. You want to get some pancakes?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it would have been nice for him to include her in the wedding, too. Well, maybe he didn't want mom to, like, talk anybody out of anything.
Oh, that's true. Because if he told mom would spill the beans. Because mom, he also, at least perceptively, she wouldn't have been okay with it. He's like, hey, I'm going to set up this impromptu wedding. She'd be like, yeah, that's not happening. Don't do that. Stop. Don't. No. I'm telling you. That's not happening.
Right. Okay. So let's move on to Maurice and Jessica. So Maurice and Jessica go out to eat to get out of his cousin's house. Maurice quite obviously gives the server a once over while Jessica just kind of looks on. Jessica is eager to get back to Vegas, but she doesn't want to leave without Maurice. They are discussing what to do about his parole transfer request, and Jessica is insisting that they talk to their supervisor. Maurice is confused and wonders what the supervisor would say that's any different than what he's been told. And Jessica insists on carrying the shit out of the situation and dragging in supervisors until they get the answer that they want. Maurice tells her that they're doing everything that they can do and there's nothing more that can be done. Maurice tries to float the idea of breaking parole so he can meet Jessica's family and just stay in Vegas. Jessica is scared because Maurice is on his second strike, and if he gets caught, then it could be 20 to life. Maurice says that he wants to risk Vegas. Jessica agrees to take Maurice to Vegas, which she says is about 4 hours away, so they hope that if his PO calls, they can do their best to just rush back. Maurice isn't worried about the what ifs, but Jessica is just worrying and they're bickering whether or not they should turn around the entire trip, it seemed like. All right, So if you're in this situation, would you aid and abet a partner? Like, literally be their partner in crime?
No. No. Because his reasoning was he had no reason. What happens if you get caught? I'm not going to get caught. Why are you not going to get caught? Because I'm not. Like, okay, in this specific situation, I might, if he had a plan, right? If he had a plan, he had reasons why you're getting caught. But I would be like, we are on camera right fucking now.
I know.
You're filming us going over the state line, you dipshit. Of course you're going to get caught.
Right. That,
like, how would you not
is
get caught?
Interesting to me, because wasn't it Andrea and what was her husband's name? The one that was from Utah. His name is escaping me for a second.
Yeah,
but they were very weird about conceiving in the prison and saying it on camera while he was on parole. Because they were scared that there would somehow be repercussions about him being on TV.
Waited until he was off parole before she said anything on camera. Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Before they could do anything. And then it just seems to me, Andrea and Lamar.
Yes.
It just seems to me that it's like, okay, so when is this coming out? Like, do you actually know when this is coming out? Because how long are you on parole for? Like, it seems to me that if they saw this, you could get into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, a lot of trouble. And it's like, it's right there at the dailies. You just handed the producers, I mean, hopefully we wouldn't think the producers would snitch on you, but you gave somebody all that evidence they'd need for you to be, like, done. And then, like, I don't know how parole works, but I imagine they can, like, I don't know. Do they have some sort of location tracking on your phone that they turn on? Like, you have to give me your iPhone. Give me your find your iPhone data, like, so I can just ping you.
Yeah, maybe. I think, like, they could request people to come in on a short amount of notice, right? And so I think that what they're banking on is that the short notice is, you know, 4 hours or more. And so they're just like, we'll just drive back.
I doubt it would be that. It's more like they like stop by, like knock, knock.
Right. And I was going to say, and I think the other thing is that they could just stop by, you know, but maybe he's also banking on like parole officers, maybe just not wanting to go out of their way. And it's just like, oh, you come to me, just check in.
Yeah, well, it's also banking on – clearly his cousin would cover for him, right? Oh, no, yeah. He's out. Where is he? I don't know where he went. He's around here somewhere. Somewhere. He usually comes back.
Then you could say, oh, my phone died.
Back. Right, and then you could be like, whatever time it is, you know, he'd look at your clock and it's 5 o'clock. You'd be like, I don't know. He usually comes back here around 10.
Yeah, right. And then just call him real quick. So right. I'm sure that there's some kind of plan, but it just seemed weird to me like the entire time she's driving him there. She's like, we shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do this. It's like, you're doing it already. So just stop arguing about it. It's just like making it stressful for everyone else.
Yeah, it's, especially because it's just like, I don't, because we're not exactly clear on where he can go because we say this every time, but your options are – there's more options than Las Vegas and Compton. Like there has to be something else between those two. Like I've never made that drive. I know you have made that drive a lot of times. I'm pretty sure there's not a lot.
It's longer than 4 hours.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is 4 hours if you're like doing, you know, 90 maybe.
Yeah, but it would also have to be during certain times of the day because there's just always traffic.
Well, getting out of the city is going to be an intense amount of traffic. Yeah.
Right. Okay, let's talk about Jessica's strategy for getting Maurice transferred faster.
Oh, man.
It's like, wow, you are really out of touch. Why do you think you can just keep on asking to talk to supervisors?
Supervisors. Could you imagine her going into the parole officer being, let me talk to your supervisor?
Let me talk to your supervisor. And I am the supervisor.
Laughing at
well,
you.
Well, can I talk to, like, who do you report to? Can I talk to them?
Nobody. I report to me.
It's just you like think that you could just like carry your way through. And
even if you do report to a supervisor, like, okay, fine, here's my captain. And you call the captain and he's like, what's the problem? Like, well, blah, 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 blah. He's like, oh, you'll have to take that up with the officer. Like, that's his answer. He's not going to say anything else. He's not going to be like, oh, gee, well, I didn't think about that white lady. Now let's like come back and like such.
Yeah. And also like if you're that officer, now you have a chip on your shoulder.
Right.
Now you're going to be on this guy's ass, like, riding it hard. Like, nothing's going to be easy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you went over my head? Oh, pfft.
Right. Like, that's how people get vindictive.
Right. Right. Yeah. When you go to report to a supervisor. Because it's like, it's not like taking a sandwich back at Wendy's, right? It's like, if you lose, you're stuck with this guy. And if you win, you're stuck with this guy. They're not going to change the parole officers. Like, you're going to be stuck with the guy that you got in trouble. Like, what's a terrible plan?
I know. Ugh. Right. Jessica's just, like, so out of touch. Poor Maurice. He's like, it doesn't really work like that.
She's like, well, why doesn't it? I can't believe you didn't even ask. And he's like,
I did everything that I can do. I don't think you get how the system works.
Right. I mean, yeah, because even try doing that, and that's what gets me is where does she work? Even if you do that at like the DMV, that doesn't work.
Oh yeah,
right. Can I speak to your supervisor?
They get vindictive too.
No, they're not here. Now your number's 403. Go back. I'll call you in 40 minutes.
End of the line. Get back there. All right, moving on.
All right, so that leaves me with my last couple, and that is Tyrese, and we get to meet Shonda finally.
Yay. Kind of, yay.
Well, we get to meet her. So we have a standard late prison release with Tyrese just waiting out in front of the prison with his binoculars. But at some point after he's been waiting for like an hour and a half after he's supposed to get released, Shonda calls and says they took another way out of the prison and they just took her straight to the bus station because before long to go to her halfway house, she has to get on a bus to go to Fort Leavenworth. So he drives over to the bus station and now, you know, they only have about 2.5 hours together. They originally were going to have like 5 hours together before she had to get on her bus. As he walks into the bus station, he tells us that he's tired of being a bachelor and he can finally see himself being married. When Shonda first sees him, she's in her prison sweatsuit and laughs at his blue suit, which is really the only appropriate reaction.
Yeah.
Then he gets out the clothes that he brought for her to change into, and she goes into the bathroom to put the clothes on. She enjoys seeing the real bras and, like, actual panties and tells us that she hopes things will stay good now that she's on the outside. On the way out of the bus station, Tyrese takes a look at his favorite ass. He, like, stops her in the street so he can look at his ass and say, and then slap it.
Oh, disgusting.
So gross. Mm-hmm. But and then we see an interview with Shonda, who in some heavy foreshadowing says that in prison it's easy to it's a lot easier in prison when you have someone supporting you, and it's even easier when you have more than one person supporting you. later, Shonda tells us that it feels great to be out and she's glad to be with Tyrese, but she's nervous because they've only in total probably spent about 24 hours together. Tyrese was hoping to have some sex, but the bus leaves soon and she's more hungry than horny, so he's given up on the sex for now, which is probably the best. When they're eating their – they stop to get food. It looked like ice cream sundaes? I don't know.
Yeah.
They talk about –
they were waiting for their chicken.
Oh, they were eating their dessert first. Okay.
Yes.
They talk about the halfway house, and much like Christiana, Shonda is worried about the halfway house because the halfway house is a great place to get a lot of drugs. And that's what she was in prison for. She gives us some background. Her dad was a meth cook and her mom was an alcoholic, and she's been in and out of prison since she was 16. She's 28 now, and everything was pretty much drug related. So of course, going to a halfway house that's going to have lots of access to drugs makes her nervous that she'll relapse. Then she kind of drops up the bomb on us right before we leave. She tells us that while she was in prison, in addition to Tyrese, she was talking to eight or nine other guys.
Yeah.
And but she was just using them. But, you know, now they're friends. So, of course, she's still talking to them.
Oh, God.
All right. So, that was the big – it was funny because you texted me while you were watching this. And you were like, I kind of like Shonda.
Yeah, and
like,
I did.
And like 3 minutes later, it was like, never mind.
I was like, no, there it is.
Which was funny because I warned you. I was like, oh, no, we know how this show works. There's going to be a turn.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as Destiny.
No, definitely not.
But Shonda, like, okay, so I did a rewatch after because usually, especially for this show, just because I like to watch it kind of in the background, I'll watch it once and then watch it again and like do notes. So the first time I watched it, it seemed so much worse to me because I was just like, oh, I really like her. Oh, there it is. There's the garbage person. And then I watched it again. And I was like, eh, it's not too bad. You know, it's like, she did seem to have somewhat of a conscience about it. And I feel like that's part of the reason why she like still felt like she needed to maintain friendship. Or who knows? Maybe that's why she feels because of money. She's maintaining friendship because it's like potential for more money.
Right. That's what I really wonder about is are these men still giving her stuff or giving her money like as friends?
Yeah, definitely could be. But I think what I really liked about Shonda is that she just seems like such a sweet person. Like she has very like nice energy. Mm-hmm. Like even how she was with Tyrese at the beginning, it seems like as weird as it is, it seems like they have like rapport with one another. You know, like the way they were kind of bantering in the car, like kind of like joking with him. Like she even said, like, you're really dressed up, you know, like, and just like their conversation that they had in the car. And she was like, kind of like a little flirty without being over the top, you know, and it just seemed like they had a really cute, like interaction. She just seemed like a nice girl, you know, and just, I don't know, but I also felt the same way about Destiny. And then you hear about their background and then you just feel bad for them because they've had such a troubled life.
Yeah. I mean, that's what me is. I don't know. Shonda just seemed like she was doing what she was doing with the other men out of such desperate insecurity. Like, I have to have eight or nine guys lined up because, you know, 9 out of 10 guys are just going to freaking, you know, disappear or be terrible or whatever. I gotta like have a whole stable of things lined up so that it'll work out with one. But she, unlike Destiny, she did seem to feel embarrassed, but like remorseful about it, and like understood that, like, I could see that some people would think this is wrong, and I feel bad about saying it.
Yeah, definitely.
Whereas Destiny was just like, oh no, no, this is what I'm doing. And
right, Destiny definitely has that like entitled, you know, air about her. Like, oh yeah, men should fall over themselves and give me money. I deserve that.
And not only do I deserve that, I deserve to go have sex with women at the same time. Like, I deserve all of this. I deserve everything. I deserve to have it all.
Yeah. But it definitely seemed like Shonda felt a little bit more guilty about it. And she was just like, yeah, but we're friends. So it's like kind of okay. You know, it's like, all right. And I'm not excusing any of it, but it definitely seems like she felt worse about it. And she definitely had that guilt.
Right. So yeah, and I'm curious as to, I mean, clearly it's going to be something that comes up, right?
Yes.
But I mean, I don't see Tyrese as the kind of person that takes this well.
No, he definitely doesn't. No, like, not at all.
And because we already saw with his kids, he's got an anger streak in him, right?
Yeah.
He has a decent amount of anger, and like especially the way he thinks he's very special. Right?
Yes. And then let's also think about what kind of crazy person keeps binoculars in their car. Like, that's the kind of guy who's like stalking their significant others because they have like, they're jealous and they're suspicious of something.
So did he keep binoculars in the car? Or did he just bring the binoculars because he knew he was going to be far from the prison? Like, was it a just, know. These are just my car binoculars? Because yes, people with car binoculars are either bird watchers or crazy.
Yes, I'm gonna go crazy on this one.
And he don't strike me as no ornithologist. There, he is
definitely.
He's not looking for any ivory-billed woodpeckers or anything.
Right. I feel like we have to talk about Shonda's ass. Okay. For one, I would say that, and maybe the prison sweats were not doing it justice. But when I saw it in real life, I was kind of like, that's not as big as. Like the pictures, and granted, in her pictures, she was definitely trying to make it an ass shot. You know, definitely. Like lifting the butt, like lunging in a certain way.
One leg up, really trying to stick it out. One leg up, arching your back. Definitely, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. But when I saw her in real life, I was kind of like, I feel like maybe you lost some of that, like in prison. I don't know.
And he was like, and slapped it. So
okay, but that was just disgusting to me. Because when he did it originally, I was just thinking, that is so disrespectful. Yeah. Like, you just met her, and okay, the whatever, it's like to me equivalent of catcalling. Like, I don't know. In his weird way, I know he's just trying to say, like, damn, girl, you fine, right? I get that.
Oh, yeah.
But to smack her ass right after, I don't know. Maybe they're into that. But to me, that's so super disrespectful.
I mean, it seems like it would have been totally – the whole thing would have played out completely different if they were in private, right?
Yes.
Everything that happened, if they did it in private, I'm totally on board with, 100% okay. Maybe, you know, people are into different things. It's not necessarily what I'm into, but I wouldn't classify it as disrespectful, right?
Well, in public, for one, and for two, like, I don't know if they really know each other well enough that he can be doing that at this point.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, because to me, it was like, I don't know. To me, it was the slap wasn't the worst part. It was the part where he's like, stop so I can look at your ass. Like, that's like,
oh, do a little twirl for me.
Yeah. That's like, oh, that's a little, that's, you know, I'm not into that, especially in public. Like, people into things, you know, in the bedroom, fine, whatever. But as long as everybody's into it. And I guess at the end of the day, it all depends on how she felt about it, right?
Yes, that's true.
So if she felt it was disrespectful or if she felt it was – because, yes, at the end of the day, I'm not going to begrudge anybody who is, you know, meeting who they are either hoping or think of as their potential life partner and being like, I think you're hot and I think you're sexy. Like, that's should happen. Like, that's
I don't know. It just, it kind of grosses me out because it's like almost like you're my property, so I can touch you when I want.
Yes. Oh, I hear that. I hear that. Especially with the demand to like stop and then I'm going to put my hands on you. Yeah, I get what you're saying. But like I said, it's like that's how you would have taken it, but you would never be with Tyrese in 1,000 years.
Oh, gosh. Tyrese would not be into me at all. My ass
itty
bitty compared to Shonda's. Tyrese would not even look my way. I don't have to worry about that situation. All right, let's move on to Sean and Destiny. Oh my gosh, this is the train wreck that just keeps on giving back here. So Sean and Destiny are getting ready to fly to Vegas, and Destiny is looking like a fish out of water in the airport. Sean randomly tells us that this isn't the first girlfriend he's lived with. There was Kelly, and then some random diva bitch. But he knows that Destiny is different, and he trusts their bond. Destiny is super excited about Vegas, and she loves the lights, and she's excited to just party. Sean actually has a really nice home, and he's bought a lot of things for Destiny, including clothes and makeup. Destiny has 2 weeks until her court date, and Sean just wants to lay low and hang out at the house, but Destiny is intent on partying on the strip. Sean is really nervous about the bail money he's paid. Sean's friend Hector and his wife Veronica are supposed to be coming over, and Destiny has just no interest in socializing or entertaining them, but reluctantly agrees as long as partying happens. Sean is busy making dinner for everyone as Destiny comes out in a sweater and pants and asks if her outfit is Vegas appropriate, and Sean says yes. Hector then arrives with Veronica and points out that Destiny isn't a catfish, and if anything, Sean catfished her. Hector then tells her that in Vegas, you can drink 24 hours. And Destiny is like, what? And is excited and doesn't want to eat so she can get drunk faster. Destiny is loud and outgoing and eager to drink. Destiny brings up how Sean lied to her about his age, but she wasn't worried if it didn't work out with Sean because she had men lined up. So she was always going to be taken care of. She's going to do her. And if someone has a problem with that, next. Hector and Veronica ask her a bunch of random questions, like, what's the craziest thing she's seen? To which she answers a woman getting a plugged-in curling iron shoved up her hoo-ha. What in the actual fuck?
Yeah, right?
Destiny says that she wants to be normal and be married. Veronica thinks that Destiny is a user and just looking for money, while Hector thinks that she just wants to have fun. And Sean is looking for Mrs. Sean, and maybe these things don't really line up. All right, so what do you think that Sean sees in Destiny? I'm like confused. They are such opposites in every single way.
Sean is just so ridiculously shallow that it was just hot girl wants to fuck me. So I'm into it. Let's go. Like, awesome. Yeah.
He's like, an idiot.
He is so dumb. Like, there is nothing that she stands for or does that matches what he wants in his life, even marginally.
No, he says, he's like, I'm shy, I'm quiet, I like to stay at home by myself or with my partner. Like, he's a Netflix and chill kind of guy. And she's just like, I won't even say, there's like a, she's like next level partier.
Yes. Well, that's what's weird, because she said that and I was like, wait a second, when I go out to party, I'm like, no, I got to make sure I eat something.
Yes.
She's opposite.
She's like, no. I want to get drunk faster. No food.
Yeah, I'm definitely a food. I want to spread it out. I want to get my money's worth out of it. Because if I don't eat, I just throw up. And then what? How much do you pay for a drink in Vegas?
She doesn't care about her money's
worth. How much do you pay for a drink in Vegas? How much did I just throw up on the ground?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well. Drinks in Vegas are like unreal. And it also just kind of depends because, you know, where they were at, it was kind of weird. They were like sitting at a bar / that served hot dogs. And they were also like, she was sitting there playing video poker. Like,
well, I thought it was a slot machine, but yeah, same difference.
Or
right.
Something. Yeah. So it was just, maybe it was a slot machine.
It was not a place I like. would think of in Vegas.
Well, no, I was talking about the free drink situation, right?
Sure.
So in Vegas, typically, if you're sitting at a table or you're sitting in front of a slot machine, you can usually get drinks for free.
Sure.
But if it's a situation where you're ordering food and the slot machine happens to be there, that's kind of a gray area. I'm not 100% sure if they're getting those drinks for free. Pretty sure Sean is footing the bill here.
Right. It's not, I mean, it definitely wasn't a casino. Right. That certainly was a casino, but it wasn't a club either. It was like a weird in between, like bar-ish thing.
They kind of have those like in hotels. Like it's just a bar where you can order things at and they just randomly have like the slot machines and video pokers.
Well, my understanding is they randomly have the slot machines and video poker literally everywhere.
Oh, everywhere. Like, it's like literally everywhere.
Airport. Yeah. Like bus station. Everything.
Here's gas a video station. Poker. Yeah. Oh, 100% there and there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it was like that, but it was like, yeah, because I don't know. I don't like
But he's not interested. And I feel like he is especially being like Debbie Downer when it comes to partying because he's like really scared he's going to lose this money. And so he's just trying to keep her like in the house, almost like he's trying to like just keep her calm until the 2 weeks are up.
Right, right. And I mean, I don't think that's going like which is, I don't know. She like doesn't even acknowledge his concern. It's like, when have you gotten in trouble? When did you go to jail? Were you drunk? Did you go out partying and that's how you ended up getting in trouble? Was that every single time? Because I bet it was pretty close to every single time.
Oh,
And like now you're just be like, no, I'm gonna go out and drink. If I'm gonna drink, you can't stop me. And it's like, well, because she is definitely, I mean, I want to armchair thing it, but she's pretty much an alcoholic, right? So I don't,
yeah,
she is
something.
She is not the kind of person who can have like one or two drinks and stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She's going to drink.
She like,
when she says, when I say I'm going to drink, I mean, you know, I'm going to have a couple drinks. I might get buzzed every once in a while. I might get kind of shit faced every once in a while, but she's like, no, if I'm going to drink, she means I'm going to drink until I black out. And that's what I mean by drink.
Well, she lit up when she heard Hector tell them that 24-hour drinking in Vegas. She was like, what? She was like, oh my gosh, let's get started now. And it's like, but to what end? You're going to be drinking and drunk all the livelong day until your court appearance in 2 weeks?
Yeah. Like, is that the plan? Is that what you want to do? Because that does not match up with what Sean wants to do. Because I think Sean just wants to do it all the time.
I'm sorry, but if Destiny really is a party girl, this is not new news to her. She knows what Vegas is about. It's not like she, you know, especially like even thinking East Coast, right? Like people in California, Vegas is close enough that if she's really a party girl, she's been to Vegas before.
Right.
Like I feel like this is shenanigans. Or if anything, okay, whatever. Your situation never brought you to Vegas. She has a ton of friends that have been to Vegas. Like almost everyone in California has been to Vegas at some point when they're 21. And so she's heard about the wonders of Vegas before.
I guarantee she's heard that Vegas has 24-hour bars. That's
oh, sure.
I'll give you that. Because like, well, it depends on where she's from too. She totally strikes me as somebody who maybe hasn't been to Vegas, but she's been to Reno.
Yeah, I can see that. But I feel like Reno's kind of same, right? Just their casinos aren't as big.
Right, right. But I still think there's like 24 hours, right? Even New York.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Aren't New York bars 24 hours too? I mean, that's East Coast. But like, it's not like it's a crazy, nobody's ever heard of a 24-hour bar before.
Yeah.
But like, okay. So the one thing she said that I was like really confused about, actually, I thought it was funny. At one point, you know, they got her talking about, you know, Hector asked her if she'd ever been with women. And she was kind of like, yeah, right?
She was trying to tell him low key, but be like, oh no, like while shaking her head, like, but like trying to give him mixed signals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But then she says something. It was like, she said she was trisexual. And so
I think she misquoted it. She meant it like, you've heard that trisexual, right? I'll try anything once. I think that's where she was going with that.
No, because it was funny because she said trisexual and then said, you know, like, men, women, chubby guys. So apparently to Destiny, the three genders are men, women,
women,
and chubby guys.
I think she was trying to say, like, she was definitely trying to heavily hint towards orgy with Hector and Veronica.
which was funny.
She's like chubby guys and maybe their wife.
Maybe their wives. I feel like she maybe their prudish wives. Like, but either way, in this, because it was a trisexual, right? I'm sticking with your tri versus my three. I don't think she wanted Sean involved. Just those three.
Oh, I know, right? She's just like, yeah, whatever, that guy.
Yeah, we've already done it. That's fine. All right.
So I'm a little, but not really, concerned about Sean. He has spent a shit ton of money on her.
Yeah.
Like,
his house is crazy nice.
Super nice. Which, okay, by the way, like, Vegas is actually kind of cheap.
Sure it is.
And like,
sure it is.
A lot of their developments are pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but still, that house was gorgeous. Best house we've seen on this show by far.
By far. By far. And way he had like the stuff set out like it was a freaking swag table at a like,
oh, yeah.
Lunch. Like it was all set out. Like, look, like it was there for like an advertisement, the way he had everything set out for her.
All right. So that's what I was going to say is, so the makeup that he bought her was Urban Decay. And so my sister used to work for L'Oreal, so I know how much all that crap was worth. He had bought her like at least $200 worth of makeup stuff just in the makeup.
And it was like weird because I mean, I tried to pause it to see what was all there, and I kind of flipped you. But it was like – but there was like dude stuff there too.
Nah.
Like, no, there was legit – there was like shaving cream and straight razors and things like that. Like there was
– Well, maybe for shaving
stuff.
Her legs because it was, he doesn't know any better.
No, I forget what it was. It wasn't like, you know, Gillette gel. It was like the foamy – the kind that like shave soap that you use the badger brush and like shave your – and it was like, you know, it was like the box had like faux wood and stuff. It was clearly like this is the manly lumberjack shaving cream.
Yeah. Who knows? Sean's a weirdo. Maybe it was for him. He's going to use it for her later. I'm confused by his mustache situation.
I can never tell if he has one or not. And I think he has one in the scenes and then doesn't in the interviews. But it remarkably looks very similar whether he has a mustache or doesn't.
Okay, so I can't tell if it's like a birthmark underneath his mustache that is also mustache shaped.
Right.
Because it definitely seems like he has it looks like he has a dark mustache, but then if you actually look at the hair, it doesn't look that, like, full.
Right. No, it's so a pretty sparse mustache, I'll give you that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'm just confused.
Yeah, I'm very confused by it. I mean, I'm confused by a lot from these, but, you know, that among many things.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if the shaving kit was for him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that pretty much covers all of the couples we've seen. So who was your student of the week?
As always, incredibly difficult to pick one.
It was, this week especially.
So I went with Tammy, Christiana's mom.
Yeah? Okay, I almost went that way.
So with Tammy, just because for restraint, because at some point.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I mean, she's on the oxygen, right? So she, I think she can't get that excited. But just the bomb after bomb after bomb after, oh, so we're at the lowest level right now, right, John? And it's like, no, actually, I'm going to tell you about the lower below that. It gets worse.
Yeah.
So we're done now? No, still gets worse. Like, there, she didn't yell. She didn't even get that upset. But it was just like, I mean, her restraint and because, you know, we talk and we do this podcast. We do the podcast remotely. You have to. Well, you have to, but we talk a video chat because it's really helpful. I talk with my face, right?
Uh-huh.
And so as a person that just wears their feelings on their face, like without even realizing I'm making faces, her poker face for that whole thing was remarkable to me.
Right. So speaking of moms, my student of the week is Chevelle's mom. And I kind of felt like she was the one asking the questions that Chevelle really wanted to ask, right? Because it wasn't Chevelle saying she wants to know how serious Quaylen is and all this other stuff, but she just didn't want to ruin their first night. Mm-hmm. So here comes Chevelle's mom. She don't give a crap. She's just like, I need to know because I don't want my family hurt.
Right.
I don't want my daughter and granddaughter hurt. So
right.
You're going to ask, you're going to answer these tough questions.
Right, because
so
she's not,
like, well,
she's not trying to get laid, so
yeah,
she don't have to worry about
but
it.
Not by him.
Well, yes, that's something. And that moment, like, she's not afraid she's going to scare him off before they can have sex, right? Like Chevelle was.
Yeah, so good for Chevelle's mom doing the dirty work.
All right. So class dunces.
Okay. Yeah.
I will admit, I mean, this is another one. This is hard for a different reason because anybody's a good choice. I went with Maurice.
Okay.
Just because that I would give you a dumb plan. He had no plan. Just let's just film me doing this illegal thing and nothing bad will happen. Like,
right.
Especially when he said, oh, I have two strikes. I'm going to do this thing. And I get, I mean, I totally get where he's coming from. I get wanting to be out of the situation, but like, oh, come on, man. You can make 2 months. That's 2 months.
Yeah.
You can make it. I feel like, especially now that since all of us have been locked up for, you know, what's 8 months, like 6 months now.
It feels like
I'm
it.
Like, you can make 2 months, man.
Yeah. It's not like you're in prison. Although I know how some people are, and this is part of the reason why lockdown has been a struggle, like even for, you know, the general population now. Is people don't like being told what to do or restricted, you know? It almost feels like you are in prison even though you're not.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I'd say, yeah, definitely one of those things where I definitely have known people who is like, you have spent a month on the couch. You didn't get up off the couch.
Yeah.
But if I say, hey, man, I need you to leave the house this weekend because we're going to watch the cat or something. I don't know. But
right.
You can't leave. They're like, what do you mean I can't leave? I have to. Right. This is the one weekend. I have to leave right now.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's definitely a psychological thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so my dunce is Destiny, and it's just like, she was so awful. Okay, talk about like all the things that could go wrong. She had no interest in entertaining Sean's friends, which is just like, you're in a partnership. This, like, it's just really selfish of you, right? Second of all, like, physically, like, I want to get drunk faster. I'm just not going to eat. Like, making poor decisions for yourself.
Right.
Three, like just how she composed herself with the friends. She was obnoxious and abrasive and like kind of, I felt like at some point she was embarrassing Sean, just like her behavior.
She was, because the other thing too is she had no reading of the other people, right? Because you had, what was Hector's wife's name?
Veronica. Veronica was not about Destiny at all.
Obviously, you know, physically uncomfortable the whole time. You'd think you'd be like, because I don't know, we've all had things like that where you kind of say something and you could tell like, nope, went a little bit too far for them. I got to rein this back in. Like this is not the crowd for that.
Right.
Destiny doesn't care. Like she's just all out. She's like, I'm me. It's like, yeah, that's like,
yeah,
I don't know. That to me is what makes somebody an asshole. Like the idea that you don't consider other people at all and you're just like, whatever, I'm me. Fuck you. I'm going to do what I want. Like that's
and that's her attitude, 100%. So actually, that's funny because it kind of goes along with my life lesson, like talking about Veronica and Hector. Because you're right, Veronica was just kind of like, I don't know what's going on here, but this is a bad situation, right? Whereas you got Hector over here, who's like basically trying to rile her all up and be like, yeah, let's watch this burn. So just because it's not your relationship, even though it's incredibly entertaining, don't try to rile up your friend's partner and like feed the drama. Because I felt like that's what Hector was doing the entire time. Like, oh, did you know about this? Did you know you could drink all the time? Yeah, we should do that. Oh, do you have other girlfriends? I bet. You think girls are hot? Like, how many girlfriends do you have?
Right.
And just like Hector was trying
to
do another
shot. Yeah, like,
let's do more shots. Oh, we thought you were a catfish. Oh, yeah, it's just
right.
Hector was
true.
He was trying to start something.
He was, and that's like, that's kind of like the way guys are with each other so much, though. Like, I'm just gonna. What my goal is to make the night a pain in the ass for my friend, and that's like
yes.
That's like fun guy stuff. I don't know. It's definitely a part of like guy culture that I don't get at all.
Yeah. But
like my goal for the night is to make my friend extremely uncomfortable the entire night. That's good old fashioned fun. That's how we're good friends.
Right.
Like I don't get it.
It's definitely setting blaze to that drama.
Right. So.
All right. What about your
life? My life lesson was to the same situation, but it was to Sean. Right. So. When someone tells you who they are, don't believe they're somebody else because you want them to be. Like, all we said about Destiny, she has never, I don't think, back up, that she's made any bones about it to Sean. Like, No. I'm sure she has told him exactly who she is. Mm-hmm. Like, and so the idea of it, he thought, well, I just thought we'd hang out and have a nice dinner. Like, who? Why did you think that? Why would you possibly think that?
Right.
She has never said anything else. Like, probably the last 3 months we've been talking, all she's like is like, she's just been like, I can't wait till I can get out of prison, get shit faced. Like, immediately. That's all I want.
Oh, I don't know if she said that. I think she knows enough to, like, dial it back a little bit.
But okay. But if so, it's also definitely goes when someone is a self described party girl.
Yes, like they are be careful.
Extreme. Like they're not like, yeah. Oh, they like to party a little bit. Like, no, it's like, oh, no. That's like, they're going to be all out. So I guess it's a little bit, you know, interpret what people say based on what they say they are. But I don't know, because she also made no bones about, like, she got to Vegas and was like, I want to go out tonight. And that's the other thing, too.
She's like, it's my first night. I want to be out.
Yeah. And you know what she's going to say the next night? It's my second night. I want to be out. It's my third night.
I'm still
I want to be
exploring.
Out. We've only gone. Yeah, you know how many casinos are, you know how many places are on the strip? I've only been to three of them. Let's go out again.
Yep. All right. So that pretty much covers this episode. And we still have not heard from Heather and Dylan.
So crazy. Yeah.
It's like, when are they going to appear?
I know. I feel like it's just waiting for them. Like, it's going to be like a shooting star or something when I finally see them.
Yeah, it really is. All right, so we will be back on
next Monday.
Yep. All right, well, we'll see you then.
See everybody then. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.